Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. Well, what a guest have I got for you today. He is the founder of Zippy SEO and the one and only Cyrus Shepherd. Hi, Cyrus.
Hello. Oh, it's unscripted. Don't know what's going to happen.
We don't. But I'm going to say, just to give the audience a bit of an overview of your background in the SEO industry, could you give us like a whirlwind tour of how you got into the industry, when it was, and where you are now?
Yeah. So if we go back to the year 2009, I got started in SEO like a lot of people. I had built a website. I thought the hard part was learning HTML and CSS. And then then it was an affiliate site. And I'm like, well, how do I market this thing now? And I had no clue. I didn't know the words SEO. I was looking at, AdWords and, press releases. I'm like, oh, but this SEO thing, this sounds awesome. So that's how I started getting into it, learning with Moz and SEO book. Then I started doing it for clients, starting with my wife's company. I'm like, hey, I'm learning this new thing called SEO, and there's some things you can do to your website. And they ended up hiring me. We built their business up to millions of dollars. But I wasn't a successful SEO by any means. I just had a handful of clients. And then I saw a job opening for the company Moz, which was SEO Moz, which was the big one of the bigger software companies of the day. And they were located in my town of Seattle. I started doing customer service for them, answering phone calls, and I unloaded the dishwasher every morning. That's where I built my career. And I stayed with Moz for 10 years on and off. I left and did some other things in there sometimes, but I became lead SEO of the company. I led their content marketing. And that's where most people kind of know me from, if they know me, through Twitter and my time there. I left the last, Moz was sold a few years ago I can't even remember the name of the company, but a conglomerate. It was a good time for me to leave. So I started Zippy, been doing my own consulting thing there, and happy to keep doing this crazy job.
Wonderful. So, right, going back, you said 2009.
Yes. Yes.
You know what? It's what? Crazy perception, because I thought you'd been in the industry a lot longer than that.
No, yeah. I hear that sometime, but now it's getting on 14 years now. So there's not a lot of us left from that time period.
Yeah. But like you said, I do remember you. Well, not remember you, but initially from Moz.
Yeah.
Spearheading things there.
Yeah. I think part of the perception was when I got the lead SEO job around 2011, it was a huge promotion for me, and they put me in charge of SEO at Moz. And I'm like, all right, this is way above my pay grade. But I was talking to Jen Lopez, who ran social media at the time. And she's just like, you got to own it. You just, if you don't know what you're doing, you just have to act like you're doing. So I came charging like a bull, on Twitter and the blog, just acting very confident. And I think some of that confidence gave people the perception that I'd been doing it longer than I had.
Right. So your learnings, right?
Yes. Because
obviously everyone in the industry, they make mistakes. Things don't go the way they, thought they would. And I'm interested in your, not mistakes, but your learnings in sort of those early days. What obstacles did you find and solve?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate to be working at Moz with Rand Fishkin, because that guy took a lot of chances. He understood marketing. He understood sometimes you have to take risk, and it's better to do good things than to appear like you're doing good things. So things were very easy in those days. We made great content and things like that. I remember, talking about our first big error. I remember, if you remember Moz, we had the beginner's guide to SEO, and then social media was becoming a thing. And So one of my projects was launching the Beginner's Guide to Social Media with everybody else in the company. We invested tens of thousands of dollars in this piece of content. You know, it took us like a year to write. As soon as it was published, it was already outdated. The project was a huge flop. Everything was wasted. It was kind of a big embarrassment. And we ended up killing it, just taking it off the internet a couple of years later. So that was a big learning for me. But just in general, to answer your question another way, I've spent my whole career trying to figure out how Google's algorithm works. And my perception of how Google's algorithm worked in 2011 or compared to today is so different. I know I've made so many mistakes along the way, and I'm still making mistakes. And that knowing that, understanding a certain percentage of what I know right now is probably wrong, that's very humbling.
Yeah. Right. So for people that want to learn the algorithm, where do they start?
That's a good question. For most people who are beginning, I think we have some excellent resources out there today. I mean, even the most basic posts on Moz, Ahrefs, Semrush will get people started with the idea of, you know, content, links, all that other stuff. I do think people who've been in the game a while, like you and I, we tend to overcomplicate things. If you're making good content, you're going to win a lot of the time. And I'll be honest, in my SEO consulting, working with clients, they all want technical SEO solutions. But most of the time, I'm like, we need to work on your content because it's not deserving of a top five position. And that's really hard to hear. And people don't want to hear that because everybody thinks they have great content. But yeah, if you can get good content, you've won half the game.
So do you think, I don't want to score against everything, but content is the primary focus of SEO?
I do. And I know a lot of people who work in publishing who only know a little bit about SEO, but they are more successful than a lot of the trained SEOs that I know because they're just producing really good content, and that's what the audience responds to. Yes, SEO helps them, but I would honestly rather be a great content marketer than a great SEO.
Yeah, I personally describe it as, well, I mean, genuine bloggers, real genuine bloggers. Yeah. Who write about their experience, who doesn't really know anything about SEO, mm-hmm. generating a lot of organic visits.
Yes.
And that's how I sort of relate it, you know, the whole content thing. Well, why do they? Because they're writing about what's passionate to them, and it relates to their audience.
Yeah. So something we learned recently through... I don't know if people have been following. There's this huge antitrust trial in the United States, and all these court documents have been being released showing some of the inner workings of Google. And it's been a big revelation how much Google relies on user behavior signals, what users are clicking on, what they're reading, what they're scrolling. And we had no idea as an industry how much of this data they relied on, that Google can't operate without it. And, you know, Google for years has been telling us to don't chase Google, chase the user. And now we know why, because Google can't operate without that user data. So if you're creating great content that users are actually responding to, the implication is those turn into actual ranking signals that Google is using. So to a certain extent, you can ignore certain parts of SEO. Well, maybe not ignore. But if you're chasing those user signals, you're already winning. So. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Am I correct in thinking that you are now a Google quality rater?
I still am, actually. Yeah, I got the job as a Google quality rater, I don't know, 6 months now? And I got the job because I had a suspicion that they were using quality rater data in their machine learning algorithms more than we realized. And so I wanted to see... I wanted to do it just for fun, for the experience, and tell everybody, hey, I did this silly thing. But also I wanted to learn to see pages through the eyes of a Google quality rater, which was very different than seeing it through the eyes of an SEO. And I think to this day, I'm still working officially as a quality rater, although I only do like 1 hour a week. I think they're going to fire me because I'm not meeting my minimally hour requirements. But yeah, it's been a very educational experience, just kind of like forgetting what I know about SEO and just looking at it like a real user. And that's been really interesting.
Yeah. So without actually you getting fired.
Yes.
And what can you tell me about that experience or process that you go through?
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. I am under this is unscripted. I am under an NDA where I'm not allowed to talk about certain things unless it's public knowledge or based on my own knowledge. But I think most people understand that who have studied it, that when you're a quality rater, Google gives you search results and you're rating search results and the websites in those search results on relevance, how well this meets your needs, and the quality of the web pages in those search results. And it's a pretty thorough process. It takes a lot of time. And I was also surprised how I always thought of quality raters as kind of like, maybe I was biased. I thought it was kind of a lower end job. You have to be pretty intelligent to rate these web pages, and they expect a certain score. There's a right answer and a wrong answer because they have, you know, multiple quality raters rating the same results. And if you're outside the range, you'll get graded and say, hey, you're rating too high, you're rating too low, until you get higher and higher up the food chain. So that's been an interesting experience.
Yeah. So what does Google do with all this information from these manual quality raters?
Yeah. So now I'm going to step outside the role, and this is not me talking as a quality rater. This is me talking as an SEO. What Google tells us they do is they evaluate their search results, meaning, you know, are people happy with them? Or are they not happy with it? But what I realized is they're also using it for machine learning. You and I can look at a page and say, hey, that's a high quality page. But algorithms have a hard time doing that. And that's one of the reasons I think they're employing this army of quality raters, is to train the machine learning algorithms like Penguin, Helpful Content Update, you know, all these things, so that the algorithm can tell, give a quality score to the billions of pages they haven't seen before. And that's how I believe they're using the data at scale. If a bunch of quality raters rate your site poor, and then that feeds into the algorithm, and then the algorithm learns to identify a site like yours as poor, you might be in trouble. It doesn't directly impact your score, but it's going to get there.
Yeah. So from an SEO consultant,
yes,
get a new client, without going into too much detail, what are the sort of top level things they can look at to say, this is quality or not? This is a good page or not?
Yeah. So Google publishes their, you know, quality rater guidelines. That's what quality raters work on. They also have, the funny thing to me is sometimes there's like one or two sentences in the quality rater guidelines that become a huge deal when you're actually working, and entire paragraphs and videos are like used for training. So what things can you look at? Here are some things that I think I can safely say. When you look at a page, you know, what is its quality? How much effort, skill, talent, and originality has gone into this page? How spammy does it look and feel? How much, you know, a big thing lately with Helpful Content Update is, you know, the EEAT, expertise, experience, authority, trust. How are you showing that on the page? That's one thing, you know, Google quality raters and users are only looking at your page for maybe a few seconds. They're not diving in. They're not reading your about page line by line. You know, they're not looking at your researching award. They're looking at you really quickly. So if you can communicate your expertise really quickly, one of my favorite things to do is look at a navigation. Do you say home, blog, about, or do you say, this is our protein research? This is about our lawyers. These are legal resources. Show me that you're talking about the area that I want you to talk about. Don't, instead of using generic links like that. I'm starting to ramble, but yeah, I like seeing how much I can trust you when I look at the webpage like that. And a lot of sites fall short. They make the reader do the work, and I think they're missing an opportunity there.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, confusion lately, especially with the bombardment of updates that's been happening.
Uh-huh.
That moving forward, you really need to be a real business.
Yeah.
In order to win the organic battle rather than being just an information site. So you need to be a real business and a real brand.
Yeah.
Rather than just, and it's not so much towards the affiliate marketing industry, it's mm-hmm. information sites in general. So yeah. I'm talking about information sites that I've personally looked at that's been handwritten by qualified professionals. It's got top quality information and everything, but it's not really based on the brand, the website. It's just an information site. And I'm seeing not it tank, but it reducing in organic exposure. So what's your view on, well, Google are looking at, well, is this a real business or not?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, Google is looking at, maybe not so much if you're a real business, but how good is your reputation? I mean, if the thing, real businesses often have real reputations, and that's hard for information sites to get, because people don't talk about information sites, but if you're building something, if you're selling something, you get talked about online a lot more, and that gives Google a lot more to work with. The other thing, you know, is monetization. If you're selling ads and affiliate links, and that's what you're really pushing on the user, that's not the best experience in the world, where real businesses, you know, make their money in other ways. And, you know, I have a client right now who makes trowels for cement. It's the most boring product in the world, but they are one of the best in the world at it. And you know, they can, when they're producing, their blog isn't very slick, but man, they're really talking about the trowels that they make. They have all this deep knowledge that they can share. I think there is a chance, if you're running an information site, I think you can do it, but you have to care. And you have to care a lot about the user and communicate that and not get your own needs put in the way. But if you give a crap about what you're doing, I think you can still win.
Yeah. Do you think the way Google is moving and already has moved, that it's going to create an unbiased opportunity for the larger, well-known brands?
Maybe. I think Google has a problem right now in that everybody, you know, people like us and everybody else in the world has gotten very good at SEO. And so results are filled with not great content, but as AJ Cohn, another SEO, said recently, it's good enough. Google is good enough. And so Google has a huge problem of trying to sort through all this sea of good enough content and elevate the actual good stuff. And it's hard, because people are just trying to do the minimal effort to get rankings. I forgot your question, but yeah, that's that's a good point.
Yeah, I can't even remember it now. That's why it's called Unscripted, because I have a bad memory. but yeah, regarding your company, Zippy SEO,
yeah.
Is it just you as a consultant, or are you an agency?
No, I'm mostly just me as a consultant. When I do need extra help, I will contract and bring other people in, especially if I need some technical work that I can't do at scale, some specialty programming or content writers or sometimes graphic designers. But yeah, for the most part, it's just me.
Right. And what sort of clients do you work with? What sort of level are they?
All kinds of clients. So traditionally, I've worked with software companies and startup companies, which was kind of my skill set in Seattle before I moved out here to the Oregon coast. lately I've been working with all kinds of sites. I have a service where I do a 45-minute consultation, and I look at your, I spend about an hour and a half on your site total. And so people just buy an hour of my time. And when the helpful content update hit, all kinds of people were reaching out for me for that hour and a half mini consultation. So I get to look at a wide variety of sites and solve a bunch of different kinds of problems. And we can't always solve every problem in an hour and a half, but it's a great learning opportunity for me and exposes me to a lot of areas of the business.
Yeah. What makes you passionate about the actual problem solving bit of it?
Yeah. So when a client reaches out to you and their traffic is down, and I get that a lot. I think we all, people reach out when there's a problem, and sometimes the answer isn't clear. Sometimes the answer is clear, and when the client actually implements all the recommendations and you've solved that problem for them, that's awesome. Also learning new things. I just love learning new skill sets and new areas of SEO that I didn't know I had. And who knows? I don't know how much longer this ride is going to last with Google, but I want to enjoy it while it does.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty flying around at the moment.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of opinions,
yeah, you know,
but realistically, you know, where is it going to go? I mean, yeah, where are we heading?
I don't know. But
no,
one thing,
this is what I mean, that nobody actually knows that where we're going. So. Yeah. In a time where I think, you know, there was obviously Panda and Penguin updates and all that, where a lot of SEOs flipped to PPC because they, you know, just destroyed. But I think I feel as though this is the first time there's been real uncertainty,
yeah,
of things and not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
So let me give you a prediction, though. There is a recent hoopla on social media about a AI site, a AI content site that stole millions, yeah, of search terms. And it was Excel formulas and Google Sheets formulas. And the original creator of the content that got scraped was very angry. This other site that recreated all the content using AI started to outrank them. Then they got penalized. And the question a lot of people are asking is, should the original site rank or should the AI content rank if it's good enough? But here's what I'm wondering. Someday, we're probably not going to need either site. If you just want a Google Sheets formula or an AI formula, you'll ask your phone and they'll just spit you out an answer, an AI-generated answer. And, you know, I don't know if you could do that right now, but most people aren't, because most people aren't using, you know, the AI solutions. But what's the future look like? People are always going to have businesses. They're going to have websites. They're going to want marketing. But maybe the tactics that we use to do that, to the traditional SEO, we're going to rank for a bunch of keywords and create content around it. That may not look like it does today, you know, 3 years from now. It's going to be something much different. And to your point, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I think we're going to see a lot of tactics changing. But a couple of things we know are going to be true. People are going to have businesses, people are going to need marketing, and people are going to need help with that. So I don't think the SEO industry is going away, but we might shift and we might look a lot different in the future.
Yeah, I think the way I see it and explain it to businesses is, well, are you producing things that could very, very easily be answered?
You know?
I mean, if I search for what time is it in New York, why do I want to click on anything? Google just tells me what time it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, why should people go writing these thousands of pages on what time is it in?
Yep. That's why my client that makes trowels is my favorite client, because AI can't reproduce that trowel. And, you know, they make videos about how to do construction and things like that that have all this expertise. That's going to be very hard for AI to replace, you know, anytime in the near future. So that kind of real world stuff really helps. But it's hard. A lot of existing businesses don't have real world stuff, and they're going to be in danger, I think. I agree with that.
Yeah, and to be fair, when it comes to content, realistically, most of the industry, whether it's been AI or not, is realistically just rewriting what's already out there.
Yeah, yeah. And and to be fair, people do that because it works, but it works now. But the people who are really succeeding aren't doing that. They've always, ever since SEO existed, they're being the thought leaders. They're creating original stuff. When I was at Moz, we rarely covered anything because anybody else was covering it. Back when we were king of the hill, we were doing things because, hey, this is interesting. We're going to write some content on about it. And we succeeded because of that. But eventually you peek out, you start like, oh, now we need to write about meta tags. And because everybody else is writing about it, so what's our meta tag strategy? And you just copy everybody else. And that's not as exciting or fun.
Yeah. I mean, when I've worked with some of these businesses and like air conditioning, ducting, and I remember going into one business and so what is it about your business? Well, we just do what we do because that's what we've always done. So to them, it's nothing different. They don't see this as, well, yep, these opportunities. So from a consultant side of it, how do you personally try and get that information out of them that you think, this is something big we can focus on? Because the client, it's just what they do every day. They don't see it as a big thing.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I don't think I have a great answer to that, especially for real world businesses that aren't used to working online. It's a stretch for them sometimes to even, going back to my travel client again, them making blog content is like, pulling teeth. They do it. They're very good at it, but it's not their core competency. They'd rather be in the manufacturing floor than send a video crew out, explaining how to make stuff. But yeah, you try to convince them to do that. Like you're talking to people. A lot of these great service businesses understand helping people. That if you can just make them understand that they're helping people online, and that's how they're communicating, that sometimes you can win by going that direction.
All right. Do you do anything in the e-commerce world?
Yes, I have had and still have a number of e-commerce clients.
Right. Do you think e-commerce SEO moving forward is dramatically going to change?
That's a very good question, because what we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing with Google, is Google taking more and more of that on themselves, especially with some of their AI search generated experience, Google Shopping. More and more shopping results are being collated into Google, not just on one website, but different products across different websites. But traffic is still going to the e-commerce retailers. It's just going in a very different direction. And SEO is getting a little more complicated with Google Merchant Center and those integrations. But Google is really trying to step in, and it's a much different shopping path for searchers than it was 5 years ago. So yeah, it's undergoing dramatic changes. I think it's going to go further.
Yeah, I was analyzing a marketplace type of e-commerce site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd say 95% of their traffic was coming from Google Shopping.
Uh-huh.
That they'd integrated. And their organic was very little because obviously it wasn't selling unique products.
Yeah. So that can be both good and bad, depending on where you're sitting. I forgot what my point was, but yeah, again, we're unscripted. So I'm just going to say, I don't remember what I was talking about.
Yeah. No worries. But I mean, over the years, has there been any moments in time that you've had a sort of light bulb moment like thinking, this is it. This is going to change what I do, or this is going to radically move things forward.
Yeah. So I've had, I don't know, huge leaps, but there's been a couple of times where I've really changed how I think about SEO. One was about 3 or 4 years ago, diving into Google patents around click usage and saying, Google is not telling us the truth about clicks. This is far more important than I think it is. The second was recently working as a search quality rater and going, I was missing a lot of things before I started this job. And I can't say how any of these things are ranking factors, but I know if I focus on them, they actually work. So that was really an eye-opening experience. And this whole thing with AI, don't know what's going to happen, but when ChatGTP was released, my heart sank a little bit. I'm like, my whole career is going to change. I don't know how, but this is going to change the industry, and it's going to be a slow burn. We might be frogs boiling in the pot. Is that the correct analogy? I don't know. Crabs. Yeah, it's frogs in the hot water. But I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, it's these things happen every few years and just make you go, wow, this changes everything.
So if somebody like a junior wants to get into the industry and have a proper career in it,
yeah,
and messages you and says, well, what should I focus on? What direction should I go into, you know, to actually have a long-term career in the industry? Where should I go?
If I was starting out again, I would probably go a different route. I got very lucky in my career, but if I was just starting out, I would probably start at an agency, something I've never done, and come in at a junior role and get, you know, do 2 or 3 years in an agency role just to see how that world operates. But don't get out before it sucks you in. And then I would go in-house working for a number of companies, because the in-house, the two experiences are so different. I've always enjoyed working in-house more than client work, even the consulting work I do now, because you really get to take responsibility and you can solve problems over a much longer time frame. And it's really hard as a consultant to come in and people want answers within 1 month. And sometimes it takes you months to really understand a very large website, all the moving pieces, you know, what the keyword spaces are. But anyway, I would start out an agency, moved in-house. And if you want to be an independent consultant on your own or grow a business that way, that's how I would do it. The other thing I would encourage everybody to do is start a blog. We used to tell people that all the time, and we don't tell people that anymore. But the best way to build a career in SEO is still to write, create original content. Take what you learn and teach other people. And I don't think a bunch of dinosaurs like ourselves are still doing that, but I want to see more younger people do that. And I don't know, maybe that's the fate of where our industry is going, but yeah, create a blog, teach other people what you know. Best way to advance your career.
You know, I was chatting to my wife earlier on today, and she genuinely said, well, you haven't got long left in the career, in the industry, because nobody wants old farts like you anymore. You want all these youngsters.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm often the oldest person in the room these days, and it's kind of like, whoa, okay. So I better learn some new skills. Like, I'm terrible at GA4, I think, which a lot of people are. And I'm like, do I even want to learn this? Nah, forget it.
GA4s are just a whole new beast.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I don't know what it looks like on your point of view, but when I start working with new clients, I would say over half of them are not on GA4 anymore. They've taken up one of these easy solutions where they can figure things out. And I'm like, that's awesome, because I can work with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even a lot of agency owners that message me say, "Oh, what, this is, I just don't get it.
Yep.
I don't understand it."
Yep.
It's like, where is it? Where's the user data?
Yeah.
Where's this? Where's everything gone? But I mean, that things do change, and that's the thing within the industry. You know, if everything remained the same, I'd still be on Windows 98.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly. You know, but things force you to move forward because you have to.
Yes.
You know, and I think in the industry, and I don't know if it's a faster pace as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
But I do feel things that seem to be changing a lot quicker.
Yeah. To go back to your question about what new people should do is that one thing, another trait of successful SEOs is they take time to learn new skills. And we can't deny that, whether it's, Data Studio or GA4 or, coding and ChatGPT, they're taking time every week, every month to get new certifications, keep up on your skill set. Sometimes I get lazy about it, but I think I've got a catalog of bookmarks of courses I'm supposed to take that, I'll dive into eventually. But yeah, keeping up on those new skills is important.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, I'm learning every single day. Yes, I'm a trainer, but, if I don't learn, then how could I ever train somebody else?
Yep.
You know, and all you're doing is stuck in the rut and outdated. You know, you have to, and I think a lot of people, I have this thing about courses,
mm-hmm.
because I believe there's a lot of checkbox scenarios, right, that don't relate to a certain business that's maybe taking the course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for you yourself, I mean, what advice would you give somebody that, they've got a specific business, specific needs? How can they move forward and learn what they need to when the course is, but rightfully, can't relate to everyone. They're so generic. So
yeah.
They learn what they need to?
Well, that I don't know if there's this great answer to that, but you don't know what you need until you learn it. The whole idea is you learn a diverse skill set. I started learning SEO because I was trying to promote my affiliate site. I thought that was my job. My affiliate site was, it turns out, to be completely different. And SEO became my job. And the affiliate site that was terrible died a long time ago. And so you never know what you're going to learn. So you're never going to nail it, but you're going to learn new skill sets. It's going to take you in new directions. And sometimes you get to connect that knowledge. And the downside is sometimes what you learn is not going to be useful. You're going to take a course on mobile responsiveness, CSS, and you're never going to use that knowledge again for the rest of your life. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. You might just find your next career.
I mean, throughout the past 23 years I've been in the industry, I think the biggest moments for me has happened by accident.
Uh-huh.
It just seems to be the best things that's happened to me has been the ones I wasn't planning for.
Yeah. And it's always, for me, it's always been my side hobbies. What I do after work that I'm kind of interested in, I want to play with, then that becomes, a part of my career eventually. Those have been the biggest things for me.
Yeah. Do you still do anything in the affiliate marketing?
Yes, I do. I have some sites. They're mostly test sites, but I do a little bit of affiliate work. They are my neglected stepchildren of my websites.
Right. And on that side, how do you feel that the impact's changing on the affiliate marketing?
Oh, that's a good question. I think affiliate marketing is as strong as it ever has been. And when I, I think there are different types of monetization for websites, and that's changed over the years. But the two biggest ones are ads and affiliate links. I think what we've seen Google recently, especially with helpful content update, is ad-heavy sites are struggling. And I think they're struggling much more than affiliate sites. That's at least what I saw with helpful content. Sites that mainly were affiliate monetized and not so much ad monetized seem to escape a little bit more unscathed from the last round of updates. So I don't think affiliate and Google seems to be getting into more affiliate marketing every year. So I think affiliate marketing has a long life. And I don't know what, you know, what if it's always going to be through SEO, but yeah, I think it's still a good time to invest in affiliate marketing.
Right. But can people do it as a side hobby and really make it their full-time income?
Yeah. Yes. I've gotten this question over the years, and I've gotten this question from people who don't know anything about SEO. But the truth is, yes, you can, but there's no guarantees. It's oftentimes a lot of hard work. The biggest problem is people fail on the content side, creating content that is awesome. They just want to push out their affiliate links and, hey, pay me. Why should I go to your page or your website more than any other page or website? Why are you an authority on this? Why should I trust you? I just went to an affiliate conference in Thailand by my friend Matt Diggity, and nothing but affiliate marketers. And it was a really different experience because most conferences I go to are SEO conferences, and they might do affiliate marketing. These were all business people who happened to do SEO as part of their business. And it was a totally different perspective. And a lot of these people were, you know, killing it with income, but they really came at it with a business mindset. They were really good businessmen who understood SEO as a channel. But yeah, really different experience. Yeah. A plus for affiliate marketing.
Yeah. I noticed you just spoken at Chiang Mai recently, yeah, at that conference. And I know that I recently attended the Search Birmingham one.
Okay.
It was like a small version of that.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, it was an eye-opener because it wasn't, like you said, people just SEOs working for clients. It was real business people,
yeah,
that was using SEO to generate business. And some of the conversations I had there was, you know, eye-opening. And
yeah.
Did you feel the same when you went to Chiang Mai?
Yeah, it was really different perspective. When you talk to SEOs, you know, there's an undercurrent. It's not necessarily talked about, but there's an undertone of respecting Google's rules, black hat, white hat, SEO, which aren't the correct terms to use anymore. At an affiliate conference, there's no regard for black hat, white hat whatsoever. You know, what works, what doesn't work, because we're trying to build businesses. That's what we care about. We care about building businesses, and Google is just a means to the end. And sometimes people like you and I, who are really into the throes of SEO, we're like, oh no, those tactics maybe shouldn't work long term, blah blah blah. It's really a different point of view.
Yeah, I like point of view.
Yeah.
I think that's the way of looking at it, because there's always seems to be two sides. But someone recently said to me, well, we'll do what works until it doesn't anymore.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. I went to a mastermind at this conference, and they wanted me in their group, like, oh, Cyrus, join us. You know, everybody knows who I am. You know, they put me in the most successful group. And I'm like, I'm looking around at who I'm with, and I'm like, guys, I am by far the poorest person in this group. You know, multi-million dollar businesses. I have more to learn from you. I might know SEO, but I definitely have more to learn from you than you have to learn from me. And to their to their credit, they were very generous with me and my time and listening to my ideas. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, when you first got asked to speak at that event, because it is, I consider, not the usual events to speak at, what were going through your mind?
I've known Matt Diggity, the organizer, for a few years online. We hadn't met it. We met in person once before that, and I have huge respect for Matt. The conference itself, and I'll be completely transparent, the affiliate marketing space doesn't always have the most pristine reputation, in our circle. So there are some things I worried about that. Also, if I'm being honest, conferences in Asia are much different than conferences in, Western Europe or the United States. There's less concern about gender equality on stage, things like that. But the people there, it's not for lack of caring. It's just a different environment, different timeframes. The people there were some of the kindest, generous, most caring people I've met. I made some great friends, and amazingly, Chiang Mai, just a terrific conference. They announced tickets for next year, at the closing session. They were 98% sold out within an hour. So even if you or me wanted to go to the conference next year, we couldn't, because they have the highest return rate of any conference I've ever seen ever. It's just amazing. It speaks volumes to the quality of the conference. And I thank Matt for inviting me and allowing me to participate in that.
Yeah, I think especially over the past year, 18 months, I've sort of opened up because I've realized that my perception was wrong.
Huh.
And I've started to, actively reach out to these people, and I've had fewer people on my podcast here and listening. And yeah, I hold my hand up. My perception of people and businesses and what they're doing is totally wrong.
Yeah. I think one thing, on a side note, a tangent to that is, I think one of the bigger changes over the course of my career is how Google has successfully overtaken the SEO conversation. When I started in SEO, SEO Twitter, which was a place where everybody talked about it, was dominated by SEOs. And slowly Google built up their public relations team. They hired Danny Sullivan, John Mueller, that whole team. And they have done an excellent job of dominating the SEO conversation. And it made me pull my hair out. I'm completely bald now. But that's the world you and I live in, where they dominate what Google says. Entire swaths of the SEO industry just follow that advice. And in the affiliate world, that's not as true. So I think it's interesting. I would, and no shade on the Google team. They're caring people. They do excellent work. But I wish more of the SEO conversation was dominated by, actual SEOs.
Yes, over the years, I've sort of described myself to people, not as an SEO, but a person that helps businesses generate more income.
Right? Yes.
It just so happens that what I've been doing, Google seems to like for some reason.
Yeah, that's a great way to market yourself. You help businesses make more money, because most businesses don't care about SEO except for a means to the end. They have their business objectives. So I was telling a friend the other day, he was asking, what do you do? And I was trying to explain it. Well, people contact me when they want more Google traffic, but that's not why they're really contacting me. They're contacting me because they're in trouble. They were hit by an update and they need to lay people off, or they just want to grow their business in other ways. That's why they're really contacting me, and that's the service we provide. So maybe that's a lesson about our market position. We don't do SEO. We help businesses grow.
Yeah, and I think because during my years of training marketing teams, I think there's a bit of there's well not a bit there is a disconnection between the marketing bit and the business itself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that for me, it's bringing both of it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just for a very simple scenario, I went into one company and the marketing team had done all this plan, blah, 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 blah. But when I actually spoke to the back end team, they couldn't actually service what the plan was trying to generate. You know, little disconnections with that.
And uh-huh.
Do you feel that sometimes there is that disconnection?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we even had that. I even had that at Mods. You know, the truth of my 10 years there was we were an SEO company, but we were also just a normal tech company that, you know, I'd submit a ticket to get some SEO fixes and it would take, you know, 6 months to a year because it had to be prioritized against all the other things. And if I had that problem at Moz, other people, you know, have that problem. Most companies, unless the exception are the affiliate marketers, because they get stuff done. Yeah, if I'm working with a travel site or, you know, but if I'm just working with a company and their core competency is not publishing, yeah, it's hard to get some of those changes pushed through. It's also hard because I think, you know, you understand this better than others. A lot of SEO is unpredictable and it's an experiment. And sometimes you have to try different things. And the successful companies are willing to try something. And if it doesn't work out, try something again and try something again. And that message is sometimes hard to sell when dev resources are very limited. You know, we did this ticket. Why are we redoing this? Is the worst thing that you want to hear. Like we're doing it because we're trying different things, and sometimes people don't want to hear that, and it's challenging.
Yeah. Well, on that note, if an SEO wants to try something, how do they know it's not going to create a negative impact for the business?
Yeah. So I often encourage people to, if the site is large enough, I encourage them to try on a subdirectory. Just we're making changes here, or I had a client. We made changes on a single page. You know, they had like 600 pages. Single page was an important page, and it took the work we had to do was quite a bit for that page. New copy, new templates, you know, all that stuff. But we proved it out. We proved it on that page, and we expanded to 6 pages. And now, you know, if that's successful, we're going to expand to, you know, 130 pages. So that's typically how we do it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to roll a change out throughout the entire site and just watch what happens. Give it enough time. That's one mistake I see people make is they roll out a change, you know, traffic dips 10%. They're like, oh, pull it back. No, give it some weeks, you know, a month or two for the signals to propagate fully, then we'll pull it back. We'll see what happens. But yeah, you don't go all in all the time.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that you feel the audience really needs to know that we haven't spoken about already?
That's a good question. I think this is going to sound so cliche. We've talked about, you know, my work as a Google search quality rater, you doing things for the user. I think shifting to that mindset, just forget when doing SEO, forget about SEO. Just think, what do I want as a user? And re-examining everything you think you know, what's going to be most helpful? You know, I have a client that removed his header, which I thought was really weird, but he's very successful at it. And but he thought they don't need these links, they just want the content. And I'm not saying that's what you should do, but that kind of ruthlessness and just thinking, how can I deliver the most content to the user as quickly as possible? You know what my dream is? My dream is to work with a recipe site that is willing to put the recipe at the top of the page. And no recipe site wants to do that because they get their ad revenue from people scrolling and time on site and the number of ad impressions that they get. But I want to just experiment with that. Find a recipe site that lets me put the experiment at the top and see if we can make up for their lost ad revenue in number of page views and impressions. And because people love that site and they're getting their answer as quickly as possible. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah, just give people the actual recipe that you're going to the page for without having to scroll through 2,000 words.
Yeah, exactly. I've started doing that with my blog post where I strip out the introduction. I just put the answer at the top of the page. And it's funny because I've seen when I do that, I see my bounce rate increase. I see my time on site go down, which is normally things we don't want to see. But I see my traffic go up because people are getting the answer that they want. They're getting it quicker. And Google can recognize that. And they're going, oh, okay, let's rank this page higher.
Right. Well, the time has rocked on and we could be here forever, but you know, we both have things to do. And now, where can people find you and what sort of conversations would you like to have with people?
Oh, that's a great question. So, yeah, I keep producing content on my site, zippy.com. And you can probably find me on all the social media channels where I don't know where I'm supposed to be putting my energy these days. X, Twitter, Threads, I'm trying Threads. I have all of 500 followers and LinkedIn, which is a fun place to be. Who knew?
Wonderful. Well, on that, Mark, well, many thanks for your time and many thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.